This is the Liberty Weekly Review, produced by the Libertarian Party of Collier County, with your window on the world of local, state, and national issues. Host John DePrisco and the panel taking your calls at 239-430-2428. That's 430-CHAT. To find out more about the Libertarian Party of Collier County, go to collierlp.com or look them up on Facebook. And now, the Liberty Weekly Review.
And welcome. Welcome to the Liberty Weekly Review. This is episode 3. It's entitled 2-1. I'm John DePrisco. The show is produced by the Libertarian Party of Collier County. It's co-produced by the Eagles for Liberty, a student organization on the campus of FGCU. Today we have 3 guests, one on the phone and 2 live. The show does take calls, so please feel free to call us at 430-CHAT. That's 430-2428. Also, later on the show will be Rob Tulp, the chairman of the Libertarian Party of Collier County. He will be live from our rally. We are having a Second Amendment rally at the corner of 41 and Pine Ridge, and that's at 2 p.m. And as I mentioned last week, I want to just bring to your attention the sponsors, including McDonald Insurance at 596-0000. Folks, they are what help us run the show, and I've been with McDonald Insurance for over a decade, so I can speak well to them. Very quickly, I just want to get to the news items, and then I want to get to the topic at hand, which is our Second and First Amendments. Unemployment for the first time dropped below 4%, first time since 2000, and it's at 3.9%, and it might be something we might do an economics whole episode on economics. The Trump's administration is setting a date and time for a very historic visit to North Korea, which I understand is also releasing 3 Americans that they held as prisoners. A federal judge recently in Virginia took Mueller's special counsel to task in the Manafort case. And we heard that George H.W. Bush was released from the hospital, so your prayers worked. And locally, red tide is still an issue in Southwest Florida. I know I'm feeling it a little bit. And there's a couple fires that are still going on in Collier County, especially the mulch fire, which is also near me. But I do want to get to our guests right away. And first on the phone is Ron Kajewski. He's currently the chairman of the Republican, the Collier County Republican Executive Committee. Ron was born in Stevens Point, Wisconsin. He went to the University of Wisconsin in Stevens Point. He came to Naples, Florida, and attended the Ave Maria School of Law, where I met him, and we did a radio show together. In 2011, he married his 7th grade sweetheart, Ashley, and in that year, he also incorporated the National RE Group, which is a real estate investment firm, and they're handling millions of dollars in investments. He then went on to support and encourage his wife, opening her own business called Rufkers, that's with 2 Fs, Rufkers Dog University. And since that time, he's been focusing on his efforts on helping her expand the business. And they now have a staff of over 20 local staff. He's a member of Rotary International Naples North. And he has various other charities that he's involved in. And he's a lifetime member of the National Rifle Association. Ron, welcome to the show.
Well, welcome, John. It always sounds so much better when somebody else reads it off, but I greatly appreciate you having me today and excited to chat about the topic at hand.
Thanks. And just a note for everybody, you speak personally and you're not speaking for the Republican Executive Committee.
Correct. Anything that comes out of my mouth today is the opinion of my own, although I'm quite sure that many of the Republicans in Collier County would probably share my viewpoints. Obviously, in order to take a formal position as a party, we do have to go through a vote process. And just for the listeners, everybody needs to understand that these are really my own opinions. But if there's something that you hear that's important to you, or there's something that you ever want to hear your Republican party take a formal position on, don't ever hesitate to reach out to me. And there is a process for that, and we're happy to entertain that process.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate that. And joining me in studio from the Lotus Gunworks in Alamo Range, which is on Vanderbilt between Goodlett and Airport, David Patterson is the director of training.
Thanks for having me, John.
Yeah. And Jake Wells is the compliance specialist.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks, guys. I do appreciate you coming on, and I just want to make it known that I did invite the sheriffs of Collier and Lee County and both declined to be on the show. But let's get right into it. We are having a rally for the Second Amendment, which most recently was attacked by this under 21 gun law. And Rob is there now. Is Rob on the line? Can we get Rob on? Rob, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, John.
All right, tell the listeners where you are and why you're there.
Well, I'm on the corner of Pine Ridge Road, US 41, still about it, you know, a little bit less than an hour before the rally's supposed to begin at 2 o'clock, waiting for folks to show up. Eager to see what kind of a turnout we get today, and it's, of course, being the chairman of the Libertarian Party of Collier County, it's a privilege to be able to work with other people from other political parties where we share like-minded views in our ideology, especially when it comes to the Constitution and our Second Amendment.
Well, we appreciate you being there for us, and we're going to come back to you as much as we can. And I want to go back to Ron real quick. Ron, can you give us a little bit of background on the Second Amendment and why it's an individual right and what it's protecting?
Well, sure. I think in order to start the conversation, I think we got to start exactly where it began and realize why it's there. Let's not forget our founding fathers. Now, when we say founding fathers, we've lost so much history and forgotten how important this is. These folks sat down and they wrote down everything to commemorate everything that was important to them. And they couldn't even get the initial Constitution passed without adding 10 things to it, the first 10 amendments, which include the first and second, which is obviously the freedom of speech and then the right to bear arms. So before a conversation can even begin on the topic of the Second Amendment, it's important to recognize the fact that this was such an important right that there were very intelligent people who were the leaders of our nation at the time who wouldn't even agree to a constitution until this was included in it. So once you kind of get over that over that hurdle, the next thing to recognize is once it's part of the Constitution has a very specific process for changing it. It's called an amendment, and that is exactly what the Second Amendment is. It's a change to the original Constitution that the Founding Fathers thought was important to include. So how dare we ever talk about removing it or diminishing it or changing it in any way, shape, or form by a process or means of our own design? It would invalidate our entire Constitution, therefore our republic, and change the way by how we govern ourselves. And I feel like that just gets brushed aside I'm trying to think of the right word, but by current situations and by current happenings, are the situations and the events that have happened over the past few years horrific and tragic, without a doubt. But to attack a document that stood to our defense for 200 years is not the place to begin. So I think that the most important thing is when we start discussing the Second Amendment, whether it be in Congress or whether it be in the media or just in conversations with our neighbors, it's important to first recognize where did it come from and why is it there. It's a history lesson, first of all. And once you can accept the history lesson, then the conversation can start. But without acknowledging the history, it's just text.
Right.
And text is nothing without a historical context.
Right. And David, speaking of that text, I think you guys have a statue or something out front, and it has the Second Amendment under there. Is that correct?
It does, correct. Yeah. It does. And I think one of the primary things, speaking of history, is that the amendments and the Constitution was based on something called natural laws, one of which being the right, the God-given right to defend yourself. The God-given right to free speech. And the Second Amendment, in fact, protects that right. The Second Amendment isn't the right to bear arms. It protects the right to bear arms, which is...
Right. So that's an unalienable right that's endowed by your creator. Whether the Second Amendment exists or not, you
correct.
Still have it. Yeah.
Correct.
And Jake, tell me a little bit about what goes on down at Alamo and how the Second Amendment is exercised.
Well, we have many... facets to our store. We're, first of all, a retail store. Then we also have a large training section where we can teach you anything from proper carry technique to getting your license and teaching you even a little bit about edged weapons as well as firearms. Lastly, we have a full service range, and it's one of the cleanest and nicest air filtration systems in Southwest Florida. It's one of the most high-tech ranges out there.
Awesome. And Rob, you still with me?
I'm still with you.
Okay. You want to give us a little background maybe of the Libertarian Party and the Second Amendment and natural rights?
Well, Libertarian Party is one of the third largest political party in the United States, above and beyond any of the other third parties that exist. And we are a party that has been known for our stand on civil rights and our defense of civil rights. And where we kind of have drawn a distinction in the past, especially with those on the left, is that we don't pick and choose which civil rights we would like to defend and say some are our favorites and some are not. We believe that they all are our favorites. And I really appreciate you guys mentioning the historical aspect of this, too, Ron. A lot of people don't realize that if you've read some of the readings of our founders, and let me tell you right now, these men are so intelligent that even with me with a earned bachelor's degree and multiple post-grad credits in college, I still have to get out a dictionary to be able to read some of the stuff they wrote because of the extent of their vocabulary and their education that they had was incredible. But saying that for this reason, even our, what we would refer to as the big government founders, the ones who supposedly that the left uses a lot to justify constantly growing the size of government, even they realized that the Second Amendment was a pivotal portion and one of the most important of our amendments because it guarantees that all of the other rights cannot be violated.
Exactly.
This is something that most people don't get. It's not just about self-preservation. It's about being able to defend all of the rest of our natural rights.
Correct. And it protects us against tyranny. And, Rob, we're going to go on a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Heller and McDonald.
Connor?
Mm-hmm.
What's the name of your chicken?
Peggy.
And what do you think the most important part of taking care of Peggy is?
Giving her water, giving her food, letting her roam around and eat the greens a lot in her field.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too. At McDonald Insurance, we love taking care of our customers as well, providing them value with integrity. At McDonald Insurance, we have 12 homeowners insurance companies and 8 auto insurance companies. You'll never have to worry about whether you got the best deal. You always will at McDonald. Call 239-596-0000. What's that number, Connor?
596-0000.
239-596-0000. Or online at www.insurancemcdonald.com. That's www.insurancemcdonald.com. Bye, Connor.
Battles aren't won solely on the field. That's a common misconception. Battles are won within, over enemies of fear, enemies of doubt. In that place where promises are kept. Promises to oneself.
This is a physical training event.
Promises to one's community.
Healthy people move debris out of their house.
Promises to one's country. In the heart of every Marine, you'll find a promise. A promise forever kept. A promise of battles won.
Are you a Catholic who is conservative or libertarian? Have you been hesitant to look too closely at Catholic social teaching? Well, I believe my book, Economics of Catholic Subsidiarity, is just for you. My name is James DePrisco, and I wrote this book for Catholic libertarians. Did you know that Pope Leo XIII was accused of selling out to the capitalists after he wrote Rerum Novarum? It's all in my book, Economics of Catholic Subsidiarity. Pick up a copy from Amazon.
Zika is still a threat, and its effect on an unborn child can be devastating and lifelong. So we can't let our guard down. To protect against getting Zika from mosquitoes, wear insect repellent, long-sleeve shirts, and long pants.
dump standing water, and use window screens or AC. To prevent Zika spread from sex, use condoms, especially if you're pregnant. Let's keep stopping Zika. Learn more at cdc.gov/preventzika. This message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
And now, back to the Liberty Weekly Review on 98.9 WGUF.
And we are back. And can Rob and Ron both hear us? Ron?
I got you.
Okay, I want to go back to you real quick. Let's talk a little bit about the Heller and McDonald cases as they apply to the Second Amendment.
Well, I guess I'm going to take a little bit of a different spin on these, as this is an area of law that I've done some extensive research since graduating law school. I actually wrote a book. It was a fictional book regarding effectively how a government could take over a society and become basically make a transition from a republic or a democracy into a dictatorship or an oligarchy. And the first thing I identified was the first change would be to eliminate the Second Amendment or the right to bear arms, because as mentioned earlier in the show, it's the right to defend ourselves, especially against our own government. So it's a little bit of a sensitive issue on these cases, because the Heller decision especially told us all exactly what we already knew, and that was that the Second Amendment applies to each and every individual in the United States of America. The problem with those decisions is, in case law, judges like to pull from not only the opinion of the court, but also the dissenting opinions. And you had some of the judges in that case write some pretty scathing dissents. And it concerns me, because if you look at the case history of America over the course of 200 years, you see some of the craziest things said by judges in dissents used to justify positions in the future. Case in point, Justice Stevens has been a huge advocate to, basically, in my opinion, disband the Second Amendment and eliminate our right to bear arms. And he's been known to say in his dissent that guns are articles of commerce, therefore they can be governed by the government. So he was trying to basically circumvent the Second Amendment by saying, well, they're bought and sold, therefore we can control them. So although the Heller decision is a fantastic decision and says exactly what we already all know, it's problematic, because it's in my opinion, it's an avenue by which the left, the extreme left, chips away at the right. And you can see this in other areas of law, but we'll stick to the topic at hand here. Yeah. That is my biggest concern with these situations, with these decisions that come down. So, Heller decision, fantastic result for Second Amendment advocates. But
right,
the fact that we have to defend something that we already know exists and that is there and has to be further defined is problematic in and of itself, because it just chips away at the core of what is a constitution? What does the constitution mean if we can constantly
right.
question it?
Right,
and
especially
enter in new evidence.
Especially if all the other rights, when we understand the people, can go down to one person as a personal right, why did we need the Heller to just say the same thing? And the book is Unalienable Liberty. It's a trilogy, and it's fiction, but it's based on what could happen. And I understand that book is going to be in its second printing?
It's as in most cases, most books, you kind of go through a first print and first edition, and once, and you kind of find the missed items. But we're looking forward to the second print release, and then the second and third hopefully will be released here in the next few years. I'm still, the outline's all there. It's just me sitting down in front of a computer and actually drafting them. And the interesting thing that I did with the book was to showcase the use of judicial comments and dissent or concurring opinions even, is the danger of these things being used as precedent in future cases, is throughout the book, there's actually cited comments from Supreme Court justices used by the politicians and the people in the book. Even though it's a completely fictional book, I just wanted to showcase the way that, and albeit in a very extreme scenario, but sometimes we need to use extreme cases to show what could happen. And maybe it doesn't happen in three generations, as I suggest in the trilogy, but it happens in 50 years or 60 years or 100
right.
years.
Right. You just compress the time a little bit.
The Second Amendment in our Constitution over 100 years is a scary thought.
Oh, yeah. And David, speaking about the dissent on Heller, we did see in March that former Justice Stevens wrote an op-ed in the New York Times, and he flat out called for a repeal of the Second Amendment.
He sure did. And it's an outrageous piece, but no surprise, because actually in his dissent of the Heller case, one of his primary points, and what Ron is saying is absolutely true. People grasp on to phrases or words. People have been, for example, attacking the word militia in the Second Amendment, right? The Second Amendment, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So we have the word militia, which people like to say, oh, that means the military. But we all know at that time, in fact, at that time, people didn't trust standing armies. The militia referred to the people. And furthermore, it says the people. What Stevens said in his dissent was that if the founders meant it to be an individual right, they would have outlined that. They would have specified that. But in fact, the fact that in that time, the militia was considered the people because people didn't trust standing armies, and because it says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The state, of course, didn't refer to a state like Florida, but right. rather the free state being the United States.
Right, right. And Rob, are you still on with us?
I am.
Okay. And the Florida Constitution also speaks to militia. Is that correct?
It certainly does, and it specifically states, as we you and I discussed on our first program when I was in studio, that the very definition in this, I can't remember off the top of my head right now the actual state statute number, but it states specifically that the state militia is all able-bodied persons, even those who have declared that they their desire to become citizens. So even people who are not yet citizens now, but are in the process of becoming citizens and have made their declarations they want to become a United States citizen, even they are also considered a part of the militia. And then another part of the definition is the National Guard, and it refers to it as the organized militia. So we the people, every able-bodied person of state, is the unorganized militia, and National Guard is our organized portion of that.
Okay. And Jake, do you get a feeling like down at the gun range, maybe this isn't something that people have general knowledge of, or they're just, I don't want to say ignorant, but just, you know, it's not something they discuss every day, and they find out that they might be dead wrong on a lot of these issues.
All the time. One of the big things that David pointed out was that people grasp onto these catchphrases. And one of those catchphrases is an assault rifle. And they have a general idea of what an assault rifle is, but when questioned on it, it turns out that anything that they deem is scary looking, rather not technologically advanced in any sort of way, they would classify as an assault rifle. That's one of the things that I frequently see at the Alamo.
Mm-hmm. And just before we go to break, David, we're going to talk a little bit maybe about the new law that's been passed in Florida. And Rob, when we come back, we will ask you to give us a little intake or understanding about the law that was passed, why it might be unconstitutional. And also on line three, we have Marcos Morales. Marcos, can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you well.
Okay. And if you could just give us a little background of the position you hold, and when we come back from break, we'll talk.
Excellent. I'm Marcos Morales. I'm the chairman of the Libertarian Party of Florida. It's really nice to be on the line with you guys.
Well, thank you very much, and I think we'll go break a little early, and when we come back, we'll just all talk.
Sounds good.
Are you a Catholic who is conservative or libertarian? Have you been hesitant to look too closely at Catholic social teaching? Well, I believe my book, Economics of Catholic Subsidiarity, is just for you. My name is James DePrisco, and I wrote this book for Catholic libertarians. Did you know that Pope Leo XIII was accused of selling out to the capitalists after he wrote Rerum Novarum? It's all in my book, Economics of Catholic Subsidiarity. Pick up a copy from Amazon.
If you're a single man under the age of 35, you'd probably like to know what the ladies are looking for on an online dating site. A guy who had a few drinks and later got pulled over for buzz driving. See, that could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. And doesn't a guy who's back living with his parents but calls them my roommates just scream, Mr. Right?
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Mike McDonald with the McDonald Insurance Agency in Naples, Florida. I'm here with my son, Connor. Hey, Connor, do you play football?
Yes, Daddy, I do.
I used to play football, too, but now I try to protect people from the unexpected. I give them the very best insurance at the very best rate. I give them choices because I'm an independent insurance agent, unlike people who only have one choice. Connor, we work very hard to protect our clients. What's the hardest thing you do in football?
Learning how to block on the offensive line.
You know, Connor, practice does make perfect. And here at the McDonald Insurance Agency, we pride ourselves in always practicing good business principles, the golden rule, so our clients always have a great experience. If you want to find us, look us up online at insurancemcdonald.com. That's insurancemcdonald.com. Telephone number 239-596-0000. That's 239-596-0000.
Go McDonald's!
What's one of your favorite memories?
That's a tough question. Well, there was this one time I went camping with my parents in a forest back when I was maybe like 8 or 9. And, I can remember one night we were laying out in our hammocks and we were just, you know, watching the trees rustling in the wind above us, and we could hear the sounds of the forest all around us. Frogs singing and owls calling and the creek running nearby. It was amazing. It felt like we were a part of it all. I don't know if I do it justice trying to describe it, but I'll definitely never forget it.
Most of us have a memory of being in nature we'll never forget. Let's protect the world's natural places so more memories can be made for generations to come. Visit worldwildlife.org.
This is the Liberty Weekly Review on 98.9 WGUF.
And we are back. And Marcos, can you hear me? Marcos?
Yes.
All right. Thanks very much for calling in. And if I can put you on the spot for a little bit, can we talk a little bit about the recent Florida law that was signed by Governor Scott, which we're calling the Under 21 law?
Oh, yes. Well, I actually went on a pretty large rant about it online, and somebody made a meme about it, and it ended up becoming the front page of the libertarian hashtag on Reddit. Hundreds of thousands of likes and shares, and it meant something, you know. How is it that we can't, you know, we'll give somebody under the age of 21 a machine gun to go to another country and murder in the name of wars politicians have orchestrated, yet we don't give them the right to defend themselves in their own home and in their community? And the reason I said that was because at the age of 18, where I lived, was the most dangerous part of town. You know, I didn't grow up with my father around. It was my grandparents, my mother, my little sister, and my brother. And no one was there to protect us. So at the age of 18, I purchased a shotgun. And I've had the luck that I've never had to use it. I hope I'm never in a situation where I have to use it. But I lived in an area where there was many assisted living facilities, where there was many murders, where there was, you know, constant break-ins into homes and things like that. It's a very scary situation to be in. And to punish all people under a certain age in the name of safety, I don't think is a good way of protecting a community, especially in the state of Florida when there's a school shooting and we don't feel like our government protects us well, just like the school shooting in Parkland where the officer stayed outside and two SWAT team members were suspended for even trying to stop the shooting. So if you don't feel your own government could protect you and they take away your only form of protection,
you know, what's the next thing? You know, how, right. We don't feel protected. We can't protect ourselves. What do we do?
Right. And Jake, I want to come back a little bit to, you were talking about the definition of assault rifle. And this law has some definitions that are arbitrary, even what we call safety. But, you know, they define things like bump stocks and whatever.
Yes. In the original section of the House bill, they declared that a bump stock has to use the recoil of the firearm to increase the rate of fire. However, in the Senate bill that was actually the one that was put into law, it doesn't say anything about the recoil of the firearm. So any aftermarket accessory, kit, tool, or device that arbitrarily increases the rate of fire, I don't know how you would measure that. It would be banned, and whoever owns one of those accessories are now considered a felon when that goes into effect.
Right. And Ron, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. You know a little bit about this law that went into effect, and how's it going to fly in the face of the Constitution?
Well, this, you know, I'm a little bit torn on the law in terms of, I'm not a fan of it, as I'm a big supporter of the Second Amendment, obviously. I think that goes without saying. There's just some clarifying points. It doesn't eliminate the ability for somebody from 18 to 21 to own a gun. It just limits the places they can buy it from. So they can still get it from secondhand dealers. So I'm not advocating for it. It's just a clarifying point, because it's one of those things that I've actually done deeply into. Because I was wildly offended by this, the time I first heard it. My issue lies mostly with its overreach into the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, because the U.S. Constitution is pretty clear through the Second Amendment, upheld numerous times by our court systems, and now we have a state law that actually further governs and limits that right. So I think there's, and you're already seeing the opposition and the pushback to that. So it's a little disconcerting. I think the thing that concerns me most is how the decisions in the courts are going to come out when it comes down to what is a state's ability to limit or further govern this God-given right that we have. So that's probably where my biggest concern lies, is when challenges come out, it opens the opportunity for a lot of special interests to come in.
Right.
So where that takes us is a dangerous place, in my opinion.
Right.
But I guess, unfortunately, now that it's been passed and signed into law, we're going to have to kind of keep a very vigilant eye. And as proponents of the Second Amendment, we just need to make sure that we advocate properly for what we believe in.
And Rob, this law creates a class of individuals, a whole separate class. That's, you know, something that's not given in the Constitution.
I agree with that totally. And this was something that has needed to be discussed and needs to be challenged in the court, not just with regard to Second Amendment issues, but in regard to a bunch of other issues like the age to, so you're able to purchase tobacco, the age to purchase alcohol, et cetera, and so forth. One of the foundations also of our country is equal treatment under the law. And it's not, under anyone's definition, it's not equal to say that it's okay if you're 21 or over to purchase a weapon, a rifle, whatever definition of a particular shotgun, et cetera, and so forth. And then also to say, but if you're under a certain age, then you can't. If you're an adult at 18, if you can go and die for your own country overseas,
right,
in the middle of nowhere for some war that politicians have concocted for us to fight, then if you're an adult at that time, then you should be treated as an adult, and you should get all of the adult privileges just across the board equally. That's equal treatment under the law. That's not equal treatment to say, okay, well, you can do this at a certain age, but you can't do that at a certain age, yet still hold them accountable as an adult, or in a court system, to say that you commit a crime, be tried as an adult, under the age of 18, which happens all the time in our country.
Yeah. And, David, we do know that the NRA is challenging this law under the Second and 14th Amendment, which Rob alluded to, the 14th part of it, being equal treatment under the law. What do we know about this? Or
well, they've definitely put forth a lawsuit against SB 7026, outlining exactly what Ron and Rob are saying, which is that it is unconstitutional. And I think sort of as a general premise here, one of the things that we encounter in our world working in the firearms industry is people say things like, you know, they're coming for guns, and people have this idea that one day law enforcement's going to knock on your door and come and possess all your firearms. But in fact, the way that they're doing it is a little piece at a time. And that's the whole point with this, the age limit, things like bump stocks, which in the big picture, bump stocks are not a major accessory. However, it's just one tiny little piece at a time that they're doing this.
Right. And so it's death by a thousand cuts.
Correct.
Rather than
that's
a quick
exactly
stab
what it
right
is. And that's and before you know it, regulation of ammunition, certain types of ammunition. Well, that would be a way to do it because a gun's not much good without ammunition.
Right. Right.
So it's these things that we have to be aware of, and I think the reason why we feel so strongly about these things is that we recognize it as, in fact, being a death by a thousand cuts.
Yeah. And, Marcos, on the state level, how's the Libertarian Party seeing this this challenge in the court?
Well, we have many people consistently going to Tallahassee and speaking on these issues. Main thing, my position as spokesperson, it's allowed me to have a voice. You know, the Libertarian Party, having 40,000 members in the state, I work as their voice. So constantly throughout Spanish and English and all sorts of media, we try and do our best to cover these things. We have reached out to multiple elected officials, and we're trying to develop relationships with both the Republican and the Democratic Party on commonalities that we could work on, and this happens to be one of those things. We've presented bills into Tallahassee before in regards to like reforming CDDs and things like that, but now we're trying to see if we could gather some more strength and see if we could maybe repeal this law that was passed.
And Marcos, are you finding that even though it was a Republican legislature and a Republican governor, are you hearing from all parties that there's a lot of pushback on this?
Well, I hear from Republicans mainly that they feel disenfranchised by the Republican Party themselves. I do also hear from a few Democrats that they do feel that this bill might go a little too far, specifically because, you know, as we view the Democratic Party, sure, some people view them as another head of the two-party system and people who are not financially conservative and things like that. What I do like to find in commonality with Democrats and people as such is the good intentions and that they have in regards to their legislations and things like that, even though they don't necessarily have the best results. But when we focus on African-American communities, when we focus on low-income cities and things as such, those are the people who feel the most threatened by their own government. You know, so with this war on drugs that's happening, many fathers and mothers going to prison, when they leave their children behind, they have to fend for themselves. 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds, 20-year-olds have to look after their own family. So I think that when we bring up these points and when we talk about the aspect of the humanity side of what this law can do and how it endangers the youth and low-income communities, then you're able to sit down and realize that you have a lot more in common with people than you think, specifically even though you're on two totally different sides of the aisle. So some Democrats have been coming around to that. Some Republicans have and Democrats have had the desire to learn a little bit more about the Libertarian Party since that law was passed, because many people are realizing that it was a pure PR stunt for Rick Scott to move his agenda in the Senate if he was to get elected as well. He's using it for an image.
Yeah, there was some speculation that this law was passed to protect the Republicans because they knew it was going to be challenged immediately, and maybe the NRA was telling them up front, we're not going to yell at you until after we challenge the law.
Well, and also you have to realize that some politics are faster than others, but this specifically is a safe bet for Republicans that are in positions of power right now, because then this gives them the opportunity to say on a debate stage, oh, you know, yeah, we did something about guns, and then they win that side of the argument. But in reality, this bill doesn't do much in regards to the bump stocks, and sure, it is a violation of people's rights that are under 21 years of age to not be able to defend themselves, but it's not the most effective thing, and it probably would not have changed a majority of the shootings that have happened in this state.
Okay, and thanks for that. We're going to go on a quick break, and when we come back, believe it or not, we're running out of time, and we're going to be wrapping up.
Well, I finally did it. I opened a 401k.
So you're giving up, just like that?
Giving up on what?
On getting an inheritance from a distant relative.
Don't you think if there were a billionaire in the family, we'd know about it by now?
Listen to me. We are one phone call away from riding horses on our own private polo grounds. One call from christening yachts, having a butler, using summer as a verb.
How do you figure?
Look, everyone's got a rich uncle somewhere. It's statistics. So the best thing you can do is just prepare for the inevitable.
Right, which is why I thought maybe it would be smart to take control of my finances. You know, start using a budget, get out of debt, set some retirement goals.
Budgets? Debt? You watch your mouth. Retirement shouldn't be a goal for us. It should be a way of life.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Okay, so five tacos of cheese and a large soda. That's $10,012. Please drive around.
Wait, 10,000 what?
It's obvious you're buzzed and driving.
I've only had a few. I'm fine.
Yeah, the food's $12, but getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Please drive around. Actually, just park and come in.
Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Are you a Catholic who is conservative or libertarian? Have you been hesitant to look too closely at Catholic social teaching? Well, I believe my book, Economics of Catholic Subsidiarity, is just for you. My name is James DePrisco, and I wrote this book for Catholic libertarians. Did you know that Pope Leo XIII was accused of selling out to the capitalists after he wrote Rerum Novarum? It's all in my book, Economics of Catholic Subsidiarity. Pick up a copy from Amazon.
Connor, What's the name of your chicken?
Peggy.
And what do you think the most important part of taking care of Peggy is?
Giving her water, giving her food, letting her roam around and eat the greens a lot in her field.
I think so, too. At McDonald Insurance, we love taking care of our customers as well, providing them value with integrity. At McDonald Insurance, we have 12 homeowners insurance companies and 8 auto insurance companies. You'll never have to worry about whether you got the best deal. You always will at McDonald. Call 239-596-0000. What's that number, Connor?
596-0000.
239-596-0000. Or online at www.insurancemcdonald.com. That's www.insurancemcdonald.com. Bye, Connor.
Want to talk to the panel? Call the Liberty Weekly Review at 239-430-2428. That's 430-CHAT.
And we are back. Thank you very much. And Ron, can you hear me? Ron?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep,
and
I'm here.
We were just talking.
Ron or Rob?
Ron.
Oh, I'm
Kijewski.
Here.
And we were just talking to Marcos earlier about maybe there's some pushback, even though it was a Republican-led bill. There might be some pushback onto the, you know, the constitutionality of it.
Yeah, and there will be, and it's not the worst thing. And I've talked with our Republican legislators from Collier County and the area, and had pretty productive conversations with them. And to be very honest with you, I understand the scenario by which, you know, the law was kind of generated and passed. Again, my biggest concern lies
with the damage that can be done in the court systems as you move things forward. Not to draw a parallel, albeit an attenuated parallel. If you look at a paramount decision like Roe v. Wade, it was ultimately decided on the right to privacy, which anybody who's read the Constitution doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. So through time, I think that's the biggest focus that I stress to people is and I forget who else mentioned this, is it's the chipping away, it's the eroding. The left, and I understand what's being said, that we have advocates on the left that we can reach out to and we can get on board with this on where we stand. But I think it's important to understand the agenda of the left is to do away with the Second Amendment. And I feel very confident being able to say that because our platform, the Republican platform and the Libertarian platform, stand behind the Constitution. And we say we actually stand behind this document because we believe in what we are. We are a republic. We are a government by law. Okay, right. We have a document that governs us. And there may be gray areas. We fill them in from time to time. But we have a process for that. It's called amendments. The Democrat Party truthfully believes that we are a democracy. And this is astoundingly catastrophic news to some people that we are not a democracy.
Right.
We are not a rule by people. We do not send things out to vote and say, hey, does 51% of people want 51% of people want this way? We have set processes. We have ways to do things. So the Republican Party stands behind what our government stands for. The Democrat Party, the left and the Democratic Party want to alter the way we govern ourselves and alter the way we conduct business.
Right. So I think we see it.
They're the ones looking to change the situation, not us. So the way you do that is you eliminate the ultimate rebellion
right.
Avenue, if it should ever come to that, which is the right to bear arms. So
and we see
it's
that
very disconcerting.
Yeah, we see that in that they want to get rid of the Electoral College as well. Rob, can you tell us again where you are and why you're there?
I'm down at the corner of Pine Ridge Road and US 41, where we're having a Second Amendment rally today. Still sitting here waiting for folks to get organized so that we can get out here with some signs on the corner and support our Second Amendment. I would also comment as well a little bit on Ron's assessment there, this last segment here. While the Republican Party platform is pretty clear that it's a Second Amendment supporting government, or not government, political entity, it is precisely things like what the Republican legislature did in the state of Florida, which gives ammunition to the hardcore left that do want to get rid of the Second Amendment. Had not our state legislature and our government signed this into law, they would have never opened the slippery slope and the doorway to begin with. So there is some responsibility that needs to be laid at the feet of our Republican legislators, too, who, especially many of whom, are basically nothing more than Democrats with an R after their name on the label and on the ballot when you look at their actual voting records.
Yeah, and there is a risk that that this case may go against us, so... You know, it's a risk, and it's maybe unwarranted.
They're playing Russian roulette with our right.
Yeah, and joining us on line three is Joe Doyle, backed by popular demand. And Joe, how are you?
Good. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Let's talk a little bit about the week in review for next week.
Yeah, we have quite a few events coming up this week. On Monday, we have the first school board candidate forum at 6 p.m. at the Norris Center, downtown Naples. On Tuesday, we have the school board meeting at 5 p.m. at the Martin Luther King Administration Building on Osceola Trail behind Barron Collier High School. Mm-hmm. We're going to have the science textbook adoption. Parents can look at that online at the school board website so they can see what books are being proposed for next year for the children. The school board attorney is requesting to appeal.
Hold on 1 second, Joe. We lost Rob. That's I'm sorry. Keep going.
The school board attorney is requesting to appeal the recent loss that the 13 school districts had for HB 7069, which dealt with some of the charter school issues. and wants to request an increase in legal fees to $57,500. And then they're also going to be discussing capital outlays for fiscal year 2019 to 2038, which would include building a new high school in about 5 years from now. On Thursday, May 10th, at 9 o'clock in the morning, is the North Collier Fire District Board meeting at 1885 Veteran Park Drive in North Naples, where they're going to talk about the adoption of the final ballot language for the $254 residential fire service fee. At 5:30 on Thursday is going to be the second school board candidate forum, and that will be held at the Marco Island Historical Society, 180 South Heathwood Drive on Marco Island. And at 7 p.m. on Thursday is going to be a fire service fee town hall information session at the North Regional Park Exhibit Hall, 15,000 Livingston Road in North Naples. So quite a few things to go to. I hope as many people can get out to participate.
Yeah, it sounds like it's quite a busy week. And, of course, next Saturday, May 12th, here on this show, is dedicated to the North Collier Fire Assessment Fee, the non-ad valorem. And we are going to have Chairman Lombardo on in studio, maybe to take questions on the air and from our talk line. So, Joe, I appreciate the update, and hopefully we'll talk to you again real soon.
All right. Have a good week ahead.
Thanks. And, Ron, just to finish up, tell us a little bit maybe about the Republican Executive Committee and some of the things you might very quickly, what you stand for and in regards
sure.
to this.
Sure. Well, you know what I'd like to talk about in the few minutes that I'll have is on May 7th, we're going to be taking up the issue of whether or not the Republican Party is going to take a formal position on the sales tax increase in mm-hmm. Collier County.
Well, that would be
so,
good.
I've requested that I've put it on the agenda, and we will be discussing and potentially taking a position, a formal position on that item. So, as I said earlier in the show, we do take positions on items as they become critical or important or need to have a position taken on. So, we've personally, my research has led me to a very negative stance against the sales tax increase for numerous reasons, but I would encourage anybody with an opinion, you're invited as my guest to attend, and we'll even open up the floor. I will entertain guest commentary as to whether or not we should take a position on it, mm-hmm. because we sure would like to know what the Republicans, the registered Republicans of Collier County, are thinking before we take a formal position and are willing to spend money to advocate or more likely be the opposition mm-hmm. to that sales tax. So we have a lot going on this year. It's an important year. 2018 is going to be a critical year for the state of Florida. So and for Collier County. So.
Yeah. Well, Ron, I really do appreciate you calling in. And like I told people in the beginning of the show, you're a good friend, and we hope to have you on again real soon.
John, anytime, let me know.
All right. Thank you. And Jake. Just in the final minute here, tell us again about what some of the things people can enjoy down at Alamo.
Sure. I'd be remiss if I didn't tell you some of the new things that are coming to the Alamo. We just got a brand new Uzi rifle to put on the wall. You come on down and take part in a machine gun experience. we also are getting in brand new firearms every day. So come on and check us out.
Okay. And David, again, thanks for coming down. Tell us where you guys are situated and how people can reach you.
We're on the corner of Vanderbilt Beach Road and Airport Road. You can reach us. Our telephone number is 239-593-0232. Come on in, and I just want to expand a little bit on what Jake said. One of the most important things for us at the Alamo is education. Mm-hmm. And really, in terms of the Second Amendment, one of the things we have to dedicate ourselves to is making the younger generations more aware of the importance of the Second Amendment and get them involved in the shooting sports and just enjoying the right that we have, which is very special in the world. We're one of the few places on the planet.
And in like 20 seconds, can you tell me about Alamo versus Lotus? Is it just a store name?
Lotus is Alamo is the name of the specific establishment, the Alamo Range.
Right.
And at the Alamo is the specific establishment, and Lotus is the umbrella company.
Okay. Yeah. Well, gentlemen, I want to thank you for being in studio with me and for my guests and my co-host calling in. And Joe, also, thanks for calling in, and hopefully we'll see you all again real soon. You're all welcome back anytime. I appreciate you coming on. And everybody out there, please go see Rob at the Second Amendment Rally on the corner of 41 and Pine Ridge. And we will see you next week. We will have Chairman Lombardo on from the North Collier Fire Control District and Rescue. All right. Thanks, everybody. Thanks all.
Thanks for listening. The Liberty Weekly Review will be back next week, produced by the Libertarian Party of Collier County. We wish you a great weekend, paid for by the Libertarian Party of Collier.